Welcome to this episode. Today's topic covers a very important aspect of our Christian journey, which has to do with working for God. What does that mean? Let's go into the scripture and examine one aspect of this today. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is one of those portions of scripture that is of importance to us. If you are a good student of the Bible, then oftentimes when we refer to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, most people would remember the story of somebody by name Jabez, or if you like, Jabez, in the earlier verses of that particular chapter. Now, I want us to look at it a bit more carefully, not the story of Jabez, but something really striking in that chapter of the Bible, which, you know, if you are not careful, you can actually lose sight of that. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we do see a genealogy of two tribes of Israel being read out for us, or being written down for us to read. The first was the tribe of Judah, out of which, of course, Jabez was a member, and his story is listed over there. But I want us to think about one group of people who are referred to as porters. And we can look at this in the verse number 22 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and also the verse number 23. So allow me to read from the verse number 22 to the verse number 23, so that we can examine some of the insights over here. Now the Bible says, "And Joachim, and the men of Josiba, and Joash, and Seraph, who had the dominion in Moab, and Jashubilehem, and these are ancient things." Verse 23, "These were the porters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work." That verse, which I just read, is the one that we must pay close attention to. Now, let me bring our minds back again to the topic, which is working for God. But this verse here, you know, you might not make the connection quite yet, but I want us to read it again. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. So the verse number 23 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Please listen carefully to this now. The Bible says, "These were the porters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work." Okay, so let's dive into it a little bit deeper now. We are talking about working for God. And you and I obviously know that the Lord our God is our king. And so let's look at this. And the Bible says here, "These were the porters." These members of the tribe of Judah were porters. Now, that men of such lowly occupation be mentioned in the inspired scripture means that attention ought to be paid here. Now, compared to farming and animal husbandry, as an example, both of these were proudly held patriarchal occupations. Pottery, however, was a menial job at the time, that is within the context of this scripture. Pottery and masonry were often the job of slaves, and their fathers had done enough of such servitude in Egypt, and so they would allow slaves, or they would give those kinds of jobs to slaves to do. A proud Jew would not joyously take up such a vocation, and this is in this time or this era in scripture that I'm referring to here. So these men were legitimate descendants of Judah, the famous and leading tribe, and they chose somehow to serve in this capacity as porters for the king. Now, as porters, they would make vessels from clay, they would prepare bricks, they would patch or build hedges, and so on. We also see that they attended to the king, and they tended the king's garden from, the scripture we read. Now, I dare make a parallel to Christ here, who the Bible says, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he took on the form of a servant. He made us new vessels. For if any man be in Christ, the Bible says he is a new vessel. That is, he is a new creation. And so Christ has made you and I new vessels, new creations in God. Now, the Bible again says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory may be of God and not of men. And Jesus has also made us to be bricks that build his kingdom, he himself being the chief cornerstone. So you can almost see the parallel here, you know, of our Lord taking on the form of a servant and doing this work of pottery, you know, in our lives and building you and I up for the kingdom. So the Bible says, for example, in 1 Peter 2:5, that for we as lively stones, or if you like, lively bricks, we are what? Built up into a spiritual house. And the Lord himself is working on us. He is working on you and he is working on me. Now, he also built bridges for our protection. The Bible says, for we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into God's glorious kingdom of light. And so Jesus is working on you and he is also protecting your life and keeping you safe from harm. The Bible says we are now seated in heavenly places with him, far above all principality and powers. We are complete in him, and above all, we are sealed with God's Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. It means you and I are hedged all around from all evil, and that should give us a cause to rejoice. Now, the Bible also makes us to understand when Jesus says, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. That tells you he also tends the garden, isn't it? You know, he is tending the garden, you know, of our lives, if you like. And he proclaimed, for instance, look up, for the fields are white, the harvest is ready, the garden is full of fruits waiting to be harvested. And so you and I today, we can partake in that work with the Lord or for the Lord. And that is a blessing. Now, as a good gardener, his harvest indeed is plenteous. And Jesus actually said this in John chapter 4, when he says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then he tells you and I that we should pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers into his field. Or will you not labor with him? Will you not labor with him? The Bible says these were the potters. These were the potters. What does it mean for you and for me? It means that you and I must serve as thus our Lord. No work must be too lowly for us in his vineyard. So these proud members of the Jewish tribe of Judah, although they would often give these jobs, you know, to slaves, they proudly took on the job of pottery to serve and to tend the king's garden. What a blessing that is. It means you and I can also exercise some humility when it comes to working for God. Working for God means that we must approach his kingdom with humility in our hearts, not thinking ourselves bigger than anyone, but serving others, being humble, being like those porters working for the kingdom. And no work must be too lowly for us in his vineyard. It means we must labor hard to build or to mend other broken vessels as porters. It means somebody in your life right now who may need encouragement, you are there as a porter to mend that vessel, to help support that vessel, to encourage that vessel, and to pray for that vessel. It means we must restore the fallen and not hurt them any further. It means we must build up people, and because they are in our care, it means we must edify the saints in our various capacities in the kingdom. We must edify those that God has connected us with. It means we must also bring other stones into the building site, isn't it? As a porter, you've got to bring in the bricks, if you like, to the building site. What that means is that you and I are called for the kingdom work to bring in other vessels, to bring in other stones, to bring in other bricks. It means we must go to the highways and byways, and we must compel them to come, because the Lord our God, the great husbandman, is calling them. He is calling them. And who can he send but you? Who else can he send but you and me? So our Lord is waiting on us. He is waiting on you and he's waiting on me. It means that when we bring them in, we must also be a hedge around them. We must love them. We must protect them. We must shield them with our prayer. We must always be there for them, encouraging them, building their lives up. We must be busy about the work of our Lord as servants or as potters in the king's garden, just as we read in 1 Chronicles 4:23. If Jesus did it for you and for me, and he's sending us to do same, it means we too can, and we must do so, and we will do so. There is something I always love to say, I can, I will, I must. So we can do it. We will do it and we must do it. If he did it for you and he did it for me, then we also can do for others by the grace of God upon our lives. What a blessing. Now the Bible also says in that same verse that we read, that they dwelt among the plants and the hedges, these porters in the king's garden, they dwelt among the plants and the hedges. In other words, their dwelling place was their field of work. They lived where they work, and they lived where, if you like, the duty was, where the work was. That was where they lived. Not elsewhere detached from the very work they were called to do. The world is his field. The Lord came to dwell here. The word, the Bible says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1 verse 14. The Bible says we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. His place of work was his dwelling place. It still is today. That is why Jesus is still here working in you and working in me. He lives in you. If you've given your life to Jesus as a Christian, the Lord lives in you and he's working in you today. He says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. And the Bible again says, you know, when you are sorting out an issue among brethren, within that context, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. So when you come together in the name of the Lord to resolve a matter, the Bible says he is right there with you. He is right there with you. He also dwells in the life of the Christian. The Bible says, for you are in Christ and Christ in God. He lives in you and he is also with you. So Jesus is with you, child of God, and he is with me. He is with us as a church. He is with us as members of his kingdom. So you are also his field, and his work of grace is continuing in your life. And you have to believe that the Lord is still at work in you. And that is a blessing. It must give us a cause to rejoice, to know that our Lord loves us and he is still working in us. Our lives remain his field, and he is constantly working in us. What a blessing. What a blessing. So God is not done with you yet. And you have to know that you are a work in progress and he is still working in you. You have to believe that the pain of your today is not going to be the pain of your tomorrow, because the Lord is not done with you yet. He is living in you and he is working in your life. Oh, I love it. We must be persuaded that what he has started, he is also able to accomplish. For he who began a good work in you shall accomplish it unto the day of his appearing. While here, Jesus said, my Father works and so I also work. So he is still at work in your life because you are his field. The Bible says these porters dwelt among the plants and the hedges. They lived in their place of work. And so you are his place of work and Jesus is working in you. So what does that also mean for us when we talk about working for God? What does it mean for you and for me? So you've got to ask yourself, are you called by the Lord to save the lost? It means you must not shun them. You must not, you know, be detached from the lost. You've got to go to where the lost are and save the lost. Are you with me? It means you are called to snatch them from the fire. What can you do? You cannot be afar off. You've got to enter the fire and snatch them from the fire. It means you are there to hold somebody's hand, to approach them and to hold them out. How can you deliver them out when you are not drawing near? It means you've got to be bold. It takes boldness to enter into a fire and snatch somebody out. It means you must be bold. The Bible says God has not given unto you the spirit of fear. He's given unto you boldness. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as the lion. And so you've got to be bold in the calling that God has called you as a Christian, wherever you are. It means we must possess the gates. We must work in our field and stay in that field. We must not sort of separate ourselves and be, you know, to form a community separated, you know, from the rest of the world. So whilst you are in the world, you must just know that you are not of the world. So in your workplace, in your family, on the streets, wherever you find yourself, at school, if you're a student listening to me, wherever you are, that place is a place for the kingdom work. And you have to represent Christ wherever you are. So we must realize that, you know, the Lord is at work in us. And as those who are working for God, we must also extend that work unto others so that they may also see Christ working through us to them so that they may be saved. What a blessing that is. The Bible says, the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have towards you." He says they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. Jeremiah 29 and the verse number 11. And so you've got to know Jesus has good thoughts for you. The Lord your God has good thoughts and good plans for your life. And because he's working in you and he's empowering you, you too can, with humility, receive that grace and work for the kingdom and work for him. That is a blessing. Jesus says something which I love. He says, "The night comes when no man can work." It means whilst it is day, while we have strength today, while we have the ability today, we must not lose sight of the Father's business. We must arise and do the Lord's work. The next thing I want us to think about very quickly before we wrap up today's episode is the Bible says in that same verse which we are looking at today, 1 Chronicles 4:23, the scripture says, "They dwelt there with the king for his work." And that's a very powerful thing as I conclude. They dwelt with the king for his work. So to do the Lord's work, we've got to dwell with the king. They lived with the king. They were in sight of the king. They were known by the king and they knew their king. They knew what the king wanted. The king also knew what they could do because they lived with the king. You see, our Lord dwelt with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, the Bible says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of the world. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. John chapter 1. And so Jesus was with the Father. He lived with the Father. He is God. And he came to earth. He walked the earth. You know, but of course, we do know as the God-man, he left his glory so that he could come and dwell here and work with us. So in the presence of the Father, he lived in his presence. He is God himself living with God. That is the mystery of godliness. Yes, as the scripture says, and came here to save you and to save me. What a blessing that is. He says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Elsewhere, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Elsewhere, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world, else my servants will arise and fight." Then he says, "Do you think that I am not able to send 1,000 angels to fight on my behalf?" Oh, what a blessing. And yet in all of his glory, he came down from the presence of the Father to save you and to save me. Jesus, when he was approaching John the Baptist for his baptism, where he would be announced to the world, John the Baptist saw and shouted, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." His heavenly abode was with the Heavenly Father. Stephen, when he was being stoned, the first martyr in the book of Acts, he says, "I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the Majesty." Apostle John also saw from afar when he wrote the book of Revelation chapter 5 and the verse number 6. He said, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain." What a blessing to know that Jesus came from his glory to live here and to die for you and for me. Our Lord indeed came for you because of his love for you. He came for me because of his love for me. What does that mean for you and for you and for me also, as we work the work of the Lord? The Bible says in our verse today, he says, they dwelt with the king for his work. It means you and I, to do the Lord's work, we must dwell with him. We must dwell with the king. We must dwell with our Lord. We must live with him. We must know him. He must know us. We must know and feel his heartbeat. Then we can be effective in the work of the Lord, for the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. If you are listening to this podcast for the very first time and you don't know Jesus, you cannot work for him. You cannot work for God. If you don't know him, you cannot dwell in him. If you don't know him, you cannot experience the blessings that are associated with being a child of God. I invite you to know Jesus. He is a savior who is able to deliver you from all your toils in this life. To make Jesus your Lord and Savior, please pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I recognize I am a sinner. Forgive me my sin. I repent today from all my ways. I know I cannot save myself. From today, I turn away from all my life and I give my life to you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. And on the third day, you raised him from the dead, so that when I trust in Jesus, my life also becomes renewed and I take on a new kind of life. May your life flow in me now as I accept and declare Jesus as Lord and Savior over my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Lord bless and keep you, and I look forward to seeing you again in the next episode. Please share this podcast on social media and to your friends, and I'll see you again in the next one. The Lord bless you.